you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Monday, August 22nd, 2016. Where to start? Thank you, Pastor Joe, for coming early and being available for today's edition. Mark and friends, we've had some time to talk through his new book that has been a work in progress for 51 or so years, I think, Pastor Joe. And I'll formally introduce him in just a second. But it's one of these times where I'm so excited because there's so many things I want to talk about in light of his new book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival. And it's written by Pastor Joe Humrickhaus, and he lives and resides in West Lebanon, Indiana. And you may have remembered a past interview with the Jam Boys, the Jam Men, I should say. Pastor Joe and Andy and Mike, they're all a part of First Baptist Church of Covington, Indiana. But I'm super excited, and what tends to happen is I talk really, really fast, and I start blurring everything together. And so I'm going to be very intentional and slowing down. And I did say to you, Pastor Joe, off air, that since you've gotten here, you have not only a great heart for the pastor and for evangelism and for the church and for people to grow, but you have a calming influence on me, and I appreciate our prayer time. But I think just your temperament and your wisdom and your heart for helping grow people has already had an influence on me. So I want to slow down and allow you to have some time to share about this 51-year work that God has been doing in your heart. I want you to share some of your testimony, which is conveyed in various chapters in this book. We want to know a little more about the reason behind this book and the program that God has for all of us, reaching out to us through His Son. So there's going to be a lot to cover, a lot to talk about, but I loved on the front copy of this book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, somebody who wrote some very kind words, and he's somebody that's very familiar to our Great News Radio listening family. In fact, a few months ago at our 20th anniversary celebration, he was the keynote speaker. But I'm going to first share the words that he had about you in this book and then divulge who it is, but some of our listeners already can figure out who it is. But he says of this book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, this is a story of a pastor who learned the difference between doing ministry for God and letting God do ministry through him. It is a story about learning to depend upon the vine to supply everything that a branch needs. It is a story of moving from an activity-centered church to a presence of Christ-centered church. As you read this book, give thanks to God for how He graciously teaches His servant that it is not about us, but it is all about Christ and His power setting a church free. Can you tell me who that was? Yeah, some of you are already guessing. Dr. Irwin W. Lutzer, former senior pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, but at the time he was the senior pastor of the Moody Church and beloved by so many of us and still heard on Running to Win. But before we share some of your testimony, this vine that even Dr. Lutzer talked about and is referenced so many times in this book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, who is that vine that's referenced by Dr. Lutzer and you?
You know, that's a perfect question, Mark, because after I wrote the book, I did want to share it not only with my Christian friends, but I wanted to share it with friends that didn't know the Lord, who knew me before and knew that I became a Christian. And so as I took it around and I began to hand it out to them, I began to realize that they probably don't know who the vine is. So the vine is Jesus. John 15, Jesus says clearly to his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And so as I began to develop this thought, what I really wanted to convey to pastors and church leaders is it's really the life of Jesus, the vine, that's flowing in and through us, and through that, he builds his church.
And that's therefore why you have the seven stewardships of revival, and those happen as we connect into the vine?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to be stewarding that life. Mm-hmm. And that comes a little bit later in the book that I'll explain as we go through.
Now, you said to me off air, this was a 51-year work in progress. Mm-hmm. Maybe by sharing some of your background, some of your faith journey, thumbnail of some of these key points where God was at work in your life will help the listener better identify with why you felt compelled to write this book. And then I also want you to maybe qualify some of your story. We have a lot of listeners from all walks of life mm-hmm. tuning in. One of our frequencies is between two rock and roll stations. So when we talk about the vine or Jesus, they're saying, well, Jesus, I've heard that name, or maybe I'm not familiar. I'm an international student, and mm-hmm. we grew up Buddhist, and we don't know anything about Christianity, or who is this Jesus? He was a rabbi, wasn't he, or something? So maybe as you share some of your testimony, maybe those key people that helped you understand who Jesus was, what does it mean that he's God and man, and we can camp there a few minutes just to set the groundwork on what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and then to connect to that vine, to connect to him, and then to flourish in him so we can be effective in our churches and see growth and revival. Loaded question, I know.
Yeah. Well, I love to say about my life, like David said about his, I have a goodly heritage. Mm. Mark, I had a wonderful home. I grew up on a farm. I had Christian parents, and I just loved that little hilltop farm. Mm. We had animals and chickens and something like right around the studio here.
Yeah, yes. They're running by the window now.
But anyway, I loved my life growing up. I was allowed to go to a country school, and we also went to a country church, just all within a three-mile radius. And so I had a goodly heritage. But I hadn't personalized Jesus. I had not believed in him as my Lord and Savior. And so when I got into the teenage years, even though I had a good life, we continued to go to church, I didn't have a personal relationship with him. And my life continued to spiral downward. And I saw myself as a sinner. And it wasn't until after I left to go to Bible college that I was kneeling on a locker room floor with my soccer buddies that I said to Jesus in my heart, I will believe you. And right at that moment is when I became what the Bible calls born again. Mm-hmm. That's when God's Spirit came and lived in me and gave me eternal life. And so with that, then my life did begin to change. Mm-hmm. The next year, the Lord called me to preach just while I was reading my Bible one evening. And the Lord impressed upon me that I should be a teacher and a pastor, a preacher of his word. Didn't know what capacity at that time.
And how old are you at this point?
I'm 20 by this time. I was 19 when I opened my heart to Jesus. You must understand, I was in a church, mm-hmm. and I knew the language. But Jesus was not personally received by me as my Lord and Savior. Then the next year, after that, almost exactly a year, he called me to preach his word. I want to tell you what I said to him. Because I was just new. You got to know I was green as I could be. I said to him, Lord, I will do this. I will go anywhere you ask. I'll not ask for a dime. It'll be first come, first serve. But then I said, you got to be my booking agent. That's what I said to him. And I actually wrote that down on a 3x5 card, put it in an envelope, and kept it for 7 days. And I opened up, and it was still warm in my heart. I put it back and sealed it up for another 7 days. And that desire and passion never left me. And I will tell you, the faithfulness of God is this, that for the last 50 years, he has booked me. And that's a miracle in my life that I just see ongoing, and it's thrilling.
And I wanted you to maybe define a little, it became a relationship. And many times people hear about, I follow this religion. But when you talk about a relationship, that sounds very personal. Can you have a personal relationship with God? Is Christianity about this relationship? What would that relationship look like?
Good question. I do love Bill Hybels' statement when he said, religion is do, but Christianity is done. And once I learned that my salvation was done, it was finished, all my sins were paid for, and when I believed in him, he took up residence in me by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then I have his word that I can read. and the Holy Spirit witnesses to me that this word is right, and you just have this ongoing walking, talking relationship with the Lord as He communicates with me through His word and His spirit, and I communicate with Him about where I am in life, and He grows me. He transforms me and He changes me. And if you only knew the man that I was 51 years ago, the transformation has been clear even to me.
In case you just tuned in, I have Pastor Joe Humrichhaus in the studio with me. We're talking about his recently released book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival. And let me read from the back cover, because I'm going to ask you, where did the idea for this book come from? But on the back cover of my edition, it says, "One Man's Offering," and it's in quotations. "This book is my offering to set forth the idea that the essence of revival is Jesus Christ obviously present and actively in charge. The kingdom of God advances both incrementally and in seasons of extraordinary providential outpourings. Practicing Christ's presence and submitting to His authority as a ministry lifestyle prepares the way for sovereign visitations. We draw near to Him and He draws near to us. It also serves to follow up His movements with stewardship of His activity within the church, which ends in evangelism. I have included points of personal breakthrough along the way, which keeps the process meaningful." And you do mention some of your testimony in various chapters and some of your life story. And I'll do a breakdown of the book just to give people the idea of what's in the table of contents. But where did the idea for this book come from?
And when I took our first church in Somerville, Georgia, and I started pastoring, I will tell you, even though the early years of my life, as I said, I had a goodly heritage, I was developing a wicked way. But I didn't know, Mark, that it was a wicked way. And the wicked way was the way of self-sufficiency. We were German farmers. I was a competitor in sports. So when I got into ministry, I thought, if it's hard work, if that's what it takes to build a church, then I will do that. And Baptists back in those days were tremendous competitors because they were always running Sunday school contests, who can have the biggest and the best and so forth. And I thought, well, if it's all about hard work and competition, I can do this. So I really launched into ministry not understanding the way of God or the way of the vine. And so it was all about me and how hard I could work or how hard I could preach. But you know, an amazing thing happened the second year in ministry as a pastor. I crashed and burned. I found myself to be defeated. I struggled with worry and fear and depression. I was not conquering my thought life. And I also looked at the church and I said, are we really growing with lasting fruit, or am I just drawing a crowd? So as I listened to a speaker on a tape, God raised up some dear godly woman to give me a tape to listen to a speaker. I was listening to Joseph Carroll say this, "Jesus is my Savior. That's what He does for us. Jesus is our sanctification. That's what He does in us. Jesus is our service. That's what He does through us. And Jesus is our shepherd. That's what He does with us." And you know, the spiritual light bulbs came on in my heart and my mind. And I remember that day I was traveling, but I pulled into a McDonald's. I stopped. Mark, seriously, I got out of my car. I bowed my head on the top of my car. And I said, "Lord Jesus, in the same way that I received You by faith to be my Savior 9 years ago, I now receive You by faith to be my sanctification, my purity, my service, my fruit, and my shepherd." And that's when my life really changed. And I would say if I had to go back in the early history of my Christianity, that's where this particular book was birthed.
And that's probably around the age of 30, late 20s?
Actually, it was 28.
28.
Yeah, and it was 1974.
I know I've experienced this, and I'm sure it's true for many of our listeners tuning in now, where God will say, okay, if you want to do it in your own strength, in your own empowerment, I'm going to let you kind of either spin out of control or work yourself to death. And what has happened to me on occasion is I'm taxed and tired and overwhelmed, and then I finally am kind of broken, and I lean into God, and He revitalizes, and He says, okay, now you're ready. Now I'm going to bring about blessing or change, or now that you got the priorities right, that seek first first his kingdom and his righteousness, mm-hmm. and then he'll work through this situation or things will fall into place and he's receiving the glory, and you step back and you say, Lord, forgive me for running ahead of you or whatever. And so you kind of had that foundational stone laid out where, Lord, I need to have you in charge, and clinging to the vine. Because I think so many pastors love to preach that John chapter 15, because it's so important for us to learn that we are not the tree. We gain our sustenance or our strength by clinging to the vine, by being a part of the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we say, Lord, use, work in and through me, help me follow you.
Absolutely. But that was the beginning of my understanding about the vine like I had never, ever known before.
Hmm. Now, when did you start feeling like, at some point I have to capture these words, these concepts, these life lessons? When did you start thinking about, it's time to write this down? Mm-hmm. I feel like God has taught me things. He's impressed on my heart these life lessons. When did this project, if you will, this writing of the book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival, when did you feel almost compelled? If you didn't put this together, the Lord would maybe discipline you, if you will. It's like he's saying, Pastor Joe, it's time.
Mm. Well, let me fast forward. That was 1974. Mm. And what happened is I began to share my testimony. I shared it everywhere, and I was so thrilled. Some thought I was imbalanced, and I wasn't able to explain it clearly. But fast forward to where I got into the Danville area as a pastor, and in 1985, so what's that, 11 years later, God sent a revival to our area. Life Action Ministries came to the First Baptist Church in Covington, Indiana, the church that I'm now pastoring, and they had 4 weeks of outbreak of revival, a sovereign visitation. That overflowed into Danville, where I was pastoring at Calvary Baptist. Mm. And we invited them to come, and for 3.5 more weeks, God moved. For 7.5 weeks in the Covington-Danville area, God broke out, and you know, many people came to know Christ. Lives were freed up. We understood new truths. So to follow that, the leader...
And that's back in 1985?
It was 85, February and March of 85. And I could bring a lot of people to the studio who experienced that with me. And so it was pretty thrilling. But I asked the leader, who was Del Fazenfeld, I asked Del, how do I follow this up? So we were led then to another revival team, which came back in 2.5 years, and another great move of God. So I asked that leader, how do I follow this up? And God led us to Oliver Price in Dallas, Texas, where we then as a church realized that if we were going to have ongoing revival, we were going to have to learn how to pray as a church.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, with difficulties and challenges and all of that, I began to ask myself this question, or ask the Lord, really, how can I allow Jesus to build his church like he said he would, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, and still maintain responsible leadership?
Right.
Because leaders have a tendency to do too little or too much,
micromanage,
you know. And so I began to ask that question to the Lord seriously. And this is an interesting part. In 1988, I actually spoke in Fort Worth, Texas, and gave 6 points of this stewardship at a local church. I wrote those messages on the spot as I taught that conference to answer my own question. But there was something in my spirit, Mark, that said, that's not all of them. And so I waited and waited for years until 2013. God gave me the 7th one. And then right after that, he released me and graced me to start writing. The staff at First Baptist was real gracious to give me time to do that. So we wrote it the fall of 14 and 15, and then it was published here in the spring of 16.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't introduce you to our Great News Radio listeners. I'm thinking we're 20-something minutes into the program, and I haven't formally introduced you, and we're going to have you back tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, because there's so much more to learn about your book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival. And I want to ask you some more questions about some of the phrasing, some of the target audience. I know you also have a special Awaken Me weekend that's being hosted at your church, so we're going going to talk about that tomorrow. But let me, for our listeners that are tuned in and said, gosh, this sounds great, I want to know more, where do they get copies of the book? And then I'll introduce you in our last 30 seconds here.
Well, you can come to First Baptist Church Covington website, and that's fbccovington.net, and you can click on resources, and the book will show up there. In fact, myself and Pastor Annie, Pastor Mike, we've all written, and you can find that under Shepherd's Publishing.
fbccovington.net. Mm-hmm. fbccovington.net. Look for the link resources, and the book is titled The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival, written by Pastor Hummerkaus. And by way of introduction, at the very end of the program, Joe is a pastor and conference speaker. He is currently the executive director of Bible Prayer Fellowship Midwest and a pastor at the First Baptist Church in Covington, Indiana. He graduated from Pillsbury Baptist Bible College with a Bachelor of Arts degree and Temple Baptist Theological Seminary with a Master's of Divinity. He's married to Teresa, and they have a family of 5 grown children and 13 grandchildren, and they reside in West Lebanon, Indiana. And there's so much more to this book, The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church. We'll talk about it more tomorrow, a special Awaken Me weekend. I'll say the date now, September 16th through the 18th, so that's coming up. And there's a lot more to this book that I think will bless you. Dr. Lutzer thought it was certainly wonderful, and I think you will too. Again, you can stop by fbccovington.net, fbccovington.net. Look for the resource button, and you can purchase multiple copies of The Life of the Vine and the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival. Well, thank you, Pastor Joe, for being available. We'll have you back tomorrow, and we can have you read an excerpt or two from this book, and we can talk about your heart for pastors and some of the things God's leading you to do or freeing you up to do in the days ahead. And then we can also talk about this Awaken Me weekend that's coming in about 3 or 4 weeks down the road. So look forward to having you back, and thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Yeah, it's my joy. Thanks for having us.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, the book is called The Life of the Vine in the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival. May revival take place in your heart today as you walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading and ask Christ to be your all in all. He is that vine. He wants to provide you sustenance and growth and work in and through you and be a blessing to those around you. So we can talk some more tomorrow at the same time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
We have turned from your ways, Lord. Your fruit we cease to bear. We've been unfaithful.